So, this is the Hello Show. This is the first episode after our anniversary.
Is that right?
Our 1 year anniversary was on, well, it was recorded on, if memory serves, it was recorded on January 25th, but we didn't release until January 27th.
Mm. So we're actually a little past our anniversary.
Yeah, yeah. We missed
it. Well, then I'm glad I bought you flowers. This is great.
How's my audio quality, by the way? Is it all right?
Yeah, it sounds fine. You've got some weird, it's almost like a shuffling sound.
Yeah, it's probably because my iPad is on my knee. I'll kind of move.
It sounds like you're shuffling paperwork.
It still sounds like it now.
Nope, now you're good.
Right.
Right.
So this is... So what should we do for our first anniversary? I think because we've got ourselves in such an episode numbing mess, we may as well call it a new season.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Start at episode one again, and hopefully not get in the same mess.
Well, now wait a minute, because then we have to redo the whole like episode 13 thing, and I don't want to do that again, David.
Ah. Well, we'll just have to make sure we do less than 13 episodes this year.
That's, oh yeah, one a month, which seems to be our record lately.
Yeah, yeah. We seem to be doing one a week right at the start, but kind of fell out of that.
Right. We're busy people.
Yeah, yeah.
So how was your little conference deal? Did you go to that?
Yeah, I did. It was great. Didn't win. But the thing with these hack days is you don't really, well, I guess some people do go specifically because they want to win, but you know, it's mostly about meeting people and getting together and making something.
So what'd you make?
It was a thing called Follow Fan, which the idea of which was basically following up with questions after a film premiere or a band playing or releasing an album or a talk. So the problem with using email for that is that people like, you end up with people like Merlin Mann who get 800 emails an hour or something like that. And probably some of those are asking the same question again and again and again. So it's sort of like a crowdsourced interview / FAQ where people can rank, can say, yeah, I want to know this question too, or and they'd get ranked by how many people want to know them. That was my thing.
That's a pretty neat idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I won a runner-up prize, which was a game called Little Big Planet 2 for the PlayStation 3, which would be nice if I had a PlayStation 3.
Now you're just using the disc for a coaster, right?
No, I still haven't taken it out of the wrapper, so I'll probably sell it on eBay. It's brand new.
There you go. So you get some cash out of it.
Yeah.
Nice. What was that one? What did they do?
You know, the guy. What he actually built was an HTML5 picture slideshow viewer, which doesn't sound all that amazing. But the reason he won the prize was. It wasn't his idea, and right at the start of the weekend, he sort of went out and said, you know, I don't have any ideas, but if you want, if you're a journalist, what do you find, you know, boring or repetitive, or what do you want to be able to do as a journalist in your job? So that was making picture slideshows was apparently somewhat difficult for journalists to do,
right?
Because of which, to be honest, I would probably struggle to think of a solution to be embedding a web page too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
oh, that's a good point.
So he built that, and a prize was for most outstanding developer, which can encompass things like, you know, how flexible are you? How willing are you to go out and find people who have problems and solve them for them?
Right. So it's not just the programming stuff. It's the people stuff, too.
Yeah.
That's neat. Well, you know, runner-up isn't so bad. It's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Gosh, what should we should do? We should do like our favorite things or something, like what or any projects we've been doing. Yeah, I mean, mostly we talk about, you know, the geeky stuff that we're interested in, which is usually Apple stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's this new MacBook Pro out today.
Right.
Yeah.
And the you know, the light or not light, well, I kind of like Light Peak a little bit better, but they're calling it Thunderbolt. Yeah, it is kind of neat how they're fitting all that stuff in one.
Yeah, but that's it's a deceptive name though, because it isn't even optical anymore. It was really going to get. No, it's just over copper. It's the same idea, the same principle, but it's not over fiber optics. No.
Oh. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
To be honest, they're saying up to 10 gigabits or whatever a second.
10 gigabits per second, yeah.
It's still darn fast.
Yeah. I've heard the most stupid comment on Twitter today, which was, Thunderbolt, great, 10 gigabits per second. Can't wait to plug in my Thunderbolt hard drive to it. Oh, wait, there aren't any.
Mm.
Well, of course there aren't, because it's a brand new standard. It was only announced today.
Right. Yeah, they'll come.
Yeah.
And really, it's just taking the place of the mini port or mini display port.
Yeah, yeah.
So really, it's not adding or subtracting anything.
Now, what interests me is, does that mean you'll be able to have two external displays from your MacBook Pro? Because can you daisy chain them together?
Oh, yeah. Now that makes sense. It seems like it has the horsepower to handle it.
Yeah.
Because
daisy chaining displays has been part of the DisplayPort standard for a while now. DisplayPort being the standard upon which Mini DisplayPort is built.
Right.
The standard connector is kind of it's sort of like the iPod 30-pin connector, but it's a little bit thicker, a little bit shorter, and it's got an angle at one end.
So actually, it's nothing like it.
Well, it was the closest thing in size I could think of.
It's just like that, but totally different.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. But, you know, my what is it now, two-year-old MacBook Pro that I've got that I use for work, you know, these new MacBooks keep coming out, and mine, man, it still feels like I just bought it yesterday. Like speed-wise and space-wise and performance-wise, it performs just like I took it out of the box. I mean, these new MacBooks are so well built and so well engineered.
Will you be able to connect a cinema display, for example, to your Thunderbolt port and have the USB and FireWire ports automatically work? Because that's the whole thing. You can run the USB and FireWire protocols over the Lightpeak or Thunderbolt connector.
Right. Good. Seems like you could.
Yeah, that would be cool, because it would, you know, take X cables down to however many to one.
Right. And then, so the other big thing is that we've got the iPad 2 coming next week, apparently.
Yeah.
Which I'm still not going to buy, but that's fine.
Didn't you say you were waiting for the iPad 2 before you would?
Well, before I even thought about it, like, you know, I would wait for the second one to come out before I even thought about buying an iPad. But my life hasn't changed that dramatically since last year. And so I still don't have an iPad shaped hole in my life. Now the next iPhone, I'm going to be all over that one. I will definitely buy the next iPhone. But the iPad, I still don't have a big use for it right now.
Mm.
So. And the only way I could possibly see maybe having it is kind of like my morning reading device, but I'm not going to drop $500 just for, you know, instead of reading on my iMac, I'm going to read on my iPad. I'm not going to spend a couple hundred bucks for that. It's just not worth it.
Hmm.
So I don't know. That's me.
Hmm.
And you're probably not going to get one because you just bought an iPad a couple months ago.
No. In fact, I just got a new one today. So got it replaced.
You did. As the the screen cracked or whatever.
Yeah, it was really weird. I was sitting in bed using it and just looked away for a second, and there was like a crack noise. So I thought something had fallen off my bedside table. So I looked and nothing had fallen off, and I looked back at the iPad and there's this crack sort of going from looking at it landscape with the home button on the right. It went from just right of the bottom left corner to just above the bottom left corner in like a circle shape.
And you called it spontaneously cracking, and that's exactly what it did.
Yeah. As far as I know, I've never dropped this iPad has never been dropped. It's mysterious.
That is weird.
Yeah. The guys at I took it to the Apple store today. The guys they were a little bit skeptical. Did you drop it? The crack was a little wider at one point, and so they said, "Yeah, this looks like it's been impacted here." And I said, "Honestly, no, it has not."
Right.
Not making it up.
But there was no outside damage. So like the case surrounding the glass, that wasn't damaged at all.
No.
So that would help your case. Unless you dropped a glass down or something.
Well,
but anyway, they gave you a new one.
Under warranty. Nice. So from having the screen cracked to having a new iPad in less than 24 hours.
That's not a bad deal. But is it like getting a new pair of shoes where you gotta break it in and re-download all your stuff?
Well, not really. It took about 5 minutes for the first sync.
That's not bad.
And to restore everything.
Yeah. See, when I broke my iPhone, it seemed like it took forever to resync with iTunes.
Yeah, I have noticed that my iPhone syncs noticeably slower than than the iPad.
Right. I wonder if that has anything to do with the processor more RAM or something.
I/O bound, I think.
Yeah. Something like that. I'm not getting an iPad 2. You're not getting an iPad 2.
If it's really amazing, which I don't expect it to be, then maybe.
That's the other thing. It doesn't sound whiz-bang above.
Well, neither was the iPhone 3G, to be honest.
Well, but it had 3G and GPS.
Yeah, but that's not that. You know, it's like that. If they add a camera to the iPad 2, that's not it's not a particularly big change.
Well, let me tell you, someone who was on the Edge network and is still on the Edge network, when you go into a 3G area, you really appreciate it. You know, these big city folks who have 3G everywhere they go.
What does it mean when you're on the Edge, you see the E in the top corner, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I hardly ever see that, but do you ever get the a blue circle?
Ooh, no. That's new.
No, I think it might just be over here, but I get that all the time. I think, I'm not sure if it's faster or slower than Edge, but it's probably about the same speed.
It doesn't feel any different.
No, it's about to, because I very rarely get the E symbol.
Right. See, I get it every day.
Yeah.
See, today I went up to Lansing, which is the capital of Michigan. It's about an hour's drive north of Jackson. And, you know, I was just checking around on my phone, checking Twitter and whatever, and it's 3G. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I appreciate it so much. So whenever I go visit people, I always use the heck out of it. But then I get home and I use my Wi-Fi. You know, I've got an airport base station. So at home, it's not so bad unless I want to make a phone call, and then it's impossible. So I'm not going to complain about AT&T anymore. I've only got what, three months maybe of waiting until I can switch out away from them. It's not even worth complaining about anymore. So I'm not going to do it, David. Not going to do it. Hey, I grabbed a version of I grabbed FileMaker the other night. Okay. Yeah. I don't have much experience with databases. I mean, I messed with them in high school during some computer classes and stuff. And I remember I liked, you know, messing around with them. But I'm really excited about this. Like, it's a database program, but it's like the database program. I don't know. FileMaker, I think it's pretty exciting. We've got a membership list at work that you know, we were trying to figure out how we were going to deal with it and things like that. And I said, well, you know, why don't we use FileMaker? It's Mac and PC compatible. And, you know, it's got...
Is it really on a PC?
Yeah. There's a version for it.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until I did some research. So it should be pretty exciting.
I guess, yeah. I didn't know it was still on the PC. But I, yeah. I knew that there had been a PC version.
Back in the day.
Back in the Claris days.
Right. Yeah, but you can make web forms with it, and you know, so it all kind of integrates together. Somebody can join on your website, and it slurps down the information into FileMaker, and I don't know. It's way more than I'll probably ever use, but I'm going to do some training on it and kind of learn a little bit more about it.
Cool.
Become a database geek.
Yeah. Have you been following the talk shows Bond film out?
No, I haven't. And I kind of wish I was, but I will, because I like those early Bond movies. So I'll catch up at some time, but I'm not doing it right now.
Yeah. I didn't catch all the ones. Well, all the ones I've watched, they still haven't reviewed, because this last episode they didn't cover You Only Live Twice for some reason.
Right.
It just went out of time, I guess. But I had not been following it up to then, but on the train down to London, on the train down to London, I watched Quantum of Solace, because I still hadn't seen that.
What did you think of it?
Good. I like these, the newer ones.
I do too.
Yeah, it's less ridiculous over the top.
Yeah. Yep. Casino Royale was amazing. I mean, I really rediscovered my love for Bond movies after that one. And Quantum of Solace was so-so, but Casino Royale is the real deal.
Yeah.
And the whole story and how he starts out and things like that.
Yeah, but so on the trip, yeah. On the train down, I watched Quantum of Solace, and on the way back up, I watched You Only Live Twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched On Her Majesty's Secret Service on Tuesday, I think, this week.
Is that a Sean Connery one?
No, it's the George Lazenby one.
Oh, okay.
Because I was reading the Wikipedia article. Sean Connery said he didn't want to do Bond movies anymore because he was getting typecast. So, it was either Terence Young or Albert Broccoli who offered the role first to Timothy Dalton, who did take up the role later,
right?
In starting with The Living Daylights.
Yep, in the '80s.
Yeah. But he said at the time he was too young for it, which seems how can he be too young to play James Bond, who is perhaps
there's a bit of world weariness to him or perhaps, wisdom.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm not sure how old he was at the time, but it seems a little bit ridiculous. So, thinking about it now, it was probably Terence Young. Terence Young saw George Lazenby on an advert and recruited him to be James Bond in On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Isn't that something? Go from advertising to the biggest movie franchise in history.
Yeah.
It's funny. I like the Timothy Dalton Bond movies. I thought he made a good Bond.
Yeah, he did.
But you only live twice, you know? I say that all the time. Like, you know, if ever I'm about to do something stupid or adventurous or whatever, and people are like, I can't believe you're going to do that. And I'm like, well, you only live twice. And then they get a giggle out of it. But and then I remember that's where I got it from, was that Bond movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I think On Her Majesty's Secret Service is better directed, but almost everything about it is less good.
Well, what do you mean by that? Like, how do you pick out the directing from everything else?
Well, it's
like you've got acting, you've got
George Lazenby for a start he's all right, but he's no Sean Connery,
right? Nobody is.
No. So that for a start, and then you get to the fact that he's not even British; he's Australian.
Mm.
So he's put on this stupid, ridiculous, fake British accent, which it takes you about 10 minutes to get used to if you're British. I guess as an American, you would probably not know the difference.
Right. Because we hear Americans try to speak with a British accent all the time. I heard Richard Gere try to pull off an Irish accent this weekend. Oh, it's just awful. Just awful.
Actually, the music is all right in On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
The opening Bond theme is synthesized, which doesn't have the same impact as an orchestral one.
Right. You know, the music is important. That's something not a lot of people talk about, and not just the opening theme, but the music that carries through the movie. It's so
incidental
important.
Incidental music.
Right.
Yeah. Well, in this film, I'm not going to say On Her Majesty's Secret Service every time. It's a bit of a mouthful. But in this film, the titles music, by which I mean the bit with On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which I didn't say, so I wasn't going to say again. You know where they usually have a song that's sung by, you know,
some Paul famous McCartney.
Paul, yeah. In this one, there's no lyrics, because On Her Majesty's Secret Service is a bit difficult to fit into a song.
Right.
And at the time, they still hadn't had the idea of a Bond theme that didn't feature the words of the title.
Right, which they've gotten over since.
Yeah. So that's pretty good, and they also use that music as incidental music whenever there's something, cool like a ski chase going on. They've got the main title theme running over that.
Right.
So of course, after having that played to me 10 times, I've now still got that on my head.
Doesn't he have a tremendous singing voice, listeners? It's fantastic.
Especially after 3/4 of a pint of beer.
Right. You see, I'm not going to even try and sing after eating so many nachos. Who knows what'll happen. I'll catch up with the Bond movies. I really want to see From Russia with Love and Goldfinger.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen From Russia with Love.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, Doctor. But I'm not sure about Doctor No.
There's a station in the U.S. It's I can't remember if it's TBS or TNT, but they have weekends where they'll just play every Bond movie from start to finish.
That happens a lot at Christmas sometimes, or when there's a new Bond movie out.
Yep.
Yeah. Channels over here will do that.
Right. So if you catch it in the middle of the day, but and then you still have to watch the commercials, which that's no fun. So, but now they're starting to sell DVDs where the DVD actually has like four movies on it. You know, so you could pick up a movie and get all the Matrix movies or something like that. So it'd be nice if they came out with some Bond ones where you could buy, you know, the first four, and you know that's all I would ever buy.
Yeah.
Except the new ones.
Yeah.
Which I haven't even heard about any of the new, or the, you know, is there another one with Daniel Craig coming out anytime soon? Have you heard?
Yeah, the schedule is November 2012, I think. It's going to be called Bond 23.
Which really?
Yeah.
Like that's the 23rd Bond movie?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, maybe it won't be called that, but that's what it is on the Wikipedia article.
Oh, okay. Well, did they have any more books to write about or to make a movie about?
Well, Quantum of Solace was Casino Royale was the first James Bond book,
right.
And then Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace was apparently a short story written by Ian Fleming.
Oh,
and I haven't read it, but so I don't know. How much the if it even corresponds at all to the plot,
right? But do they have any other material after that? You know, or is it just going to be short stories?
Well, I don't know. Certainly, I'll have a look on the Wikipedia now.
You know, Pierce Brosnan was a good Bond.
Exactly.
What I liked about him was he was kind of a funny guy, you know.
He was the first Bond, I think, where they weren't just trying to copy Sean Connery.
Right. And he was
Daniel Craig even more so.
Yeah, he was a suave guy. He's a good looking guy. He looks great in a suit. But as far as like an action star, I never saw him as like, you know, an action Bond, where Sean Connery was very, and Timothy Dalton especially, was a very, you know, he's very cat-like and physical, and you can see him jumping off a train and stuff. Pierce Brosnan, and I can never see him jumping off a train realistically. It might mess up his hair or something.
Well, it seems, they have made films of all of the books. So the books are Casino Royale, Live and Let Die, Moonraker, Diamonds Are Forever, From Russia With Love, Dr. No, Goldfinger, For Your Eyes Only, Thunderball, The Spy Who Loved Me, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, You Only Live Twice, The Man With The Golden Gun, Octopussy, and The Living Daylights. But there are a bunch of more short stories.
Hmm. So I didn't hear any of the Pierce Brosnan ones in there. GoldenEye?
No, GoldenEye definitely wasn't here.
Oh.
The Man With The Golden Gun, wasn't that a Pierce Brosnan one?
No. He had very dramatic titles for Bond movies, you know.
Yeah.
The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah, well, that was, if you watch it on Her Majesty's Secret Service, then that was actually James Bond's, you know, in heraldry. That was actually James, it's the translation of the Latin inscription on James Bond's family crest.
Oh, The World Is Not Enough.
Orbis non satis. I'll have a look.
It's very, it's not very humble. Not at all. And what was the other Pierce? Not The Day After Tomorrow, but
Orbis non sufficit.
It doesn't sound so dramatic then.
Well, if you could speak Latin, then it would.
Yeah, maybe. Tomorrow Never Dies, The World Is Not Enough, Die Another Day, and then GoldenEye.
Yeah. Hmm. The Living Daylights and Octopussy and For Your Eyes Only and A View to Kill were short stories, not novels.
Novels.
The other ones all have fairly uninspiring names. There's The Hildebrand Rarity, which is published in Playboy. Risiko, which wouldn't be... it wouldn't be bad, but it's not really. The Property of a Lady, again, not bad, but... And Agent 007 in New York, which is uninspiring.
Right. Yeah, they'd have to dress that up a little bit.
Hmm.
So you've got 22 movies in total.
So far.
And let's say, you know, 2 hours each. That's 40. That's almost two straight days of Bond movies.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Diamonds Are Forever. That's the one I seem to remember that's on TV all the time. That one,
yeah, you can't rent it off from the iTunes store. You have to buy it. Terrible. The other two in the Blofeld trilogy from Yonder Twice to and then On Her Majesty's Secret Service, then Diamonds Are Forever, which all three have Blofeld as the villain. Those you can rent, but not Diamonds Are Forever.
Well, I guess that's it then. I'll have to start watching the Bond movies.
Well,
I guess I'll just have to. Well, what else has gone on since we've
We kind of got bogged down in geek stuff. You were saying right at the start of this podcast that you were saying that we should talk about some non-geek stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, it just seems like there's so much news and stuff that keeps happening in between these shows that you know, we take forever to do it. But I don't know. We've both I've noticed neglected our websites, our respective websites, but we've both been busy with other projects, so we're kind of sort of working on a mutual project. Should we mention that?
Well, if you want to.
Yeah, I think it's great. So I'll say, like, I had this idea, and David has been kind enough to help me out with it. He's become my chief technical officer. even if he doesn't like that title, that's what he gets in the credits. But it was right about Halloween here in town that I noticed that there's not a good place to go and find out what's going on in town with nightlife. And the paper used to do it, but the paper charges to do it, so nobody pays the newspaper to do it anymore. So really, there's no one place you can go to find out what's going on in town and on the weekends, or, you know, nightlife-wise or whatever. So I thought it'd be cool to actually do something and, you know, have a way to aggregate all this information, like about bands and venues and things like that. The idea is there. It's just the problem was I had the, you know, I don't have the technical expertise to pull that kind of thing off. So David has been nice enough to kind of tinker around and help me out with it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun. And I, you know, it's one of those things where I kept putting it off and putting it off because the idea wasn't there. And I was afraid that even if I did, you know, get the go ahead on this thing, that it wouldn't be perfect on the launch and whatever. But I keep hearing all this stuff about it. And it's been especially through some of the blogs that I read, and like Merlin Mann goes on about this all the time. But you know, even if it's not perfect, just put it out there in the world and let it be seen and that kind of thing. So yeah, just do it. You know, the old Steve Jobs.
Nike.
Right. Steve Jobs said real artists ship. So that's kind of what I wanted to do, even though it wasn't perfect. Like, I just want something out there for people to use. And I've been taking a survey of people around town, and I've learned, well, it's done two things. It's both confirmed much of what I was thinking, in that people do have a hard time finding out what's going on around town. But then I learned that they have set up some sort of clunky system for themselves. Like, they check a combination of, you know, like the bulletin board at the bar they go to, and Facebook, and whatever their friends are doing, and that kind of thing. But all of them said that they wish they had like one place to go where they could find out what's going on. So, but then David thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool if not, this is not only for Jackson, but somebody, you know, something that somebody else could pick up and use too.
Yeah, so my analogy was to the stack it to Jeff Atwood, and, well, I guess there's more people than that now, but the Stack Exchange Network, where it's a collection of sites all dedicated to different things, but they all run on the same platform and serve roughly the same purpose.
Right. But yeah, you know, it should be fun. I've got somebody else working with me who's working on the contacts at a lot of the local taverns and stuff. She works in advertising, and so she's got a lot of these contacts. And then my role is just kind of the design end of the thing, and how it's going to look and feel, and the social stuff involved. So it should be cool. But if you want, listener, if you're listening to this and you feel like taking a fun survey, I've got something up at jacksonatnight.com. You can head there. I've got a little link to a survey that you can take. And even if it's not, you know, even if you don't live in Jackson, you can still take it and just let me know what you think, just for fun. But right now it's just kind of a placeholder website that I set up. So I have that going on. I've been taking a lot of pictures lately.
Yeah, with your new camera.
Yeah. When I went up to the print shop this afternoon for work, I took along my camera, and I got a lot of neat pictures of, you know, this giant 8-color press that's 30 feet long and takes up a warehouse. And
yeah.
And I asked that when I get there, because we send a lot of our print work there, like our newsletters and brochures and things. I said, when I get there, I want to see my newsletter coming off the press. And so they set it up time-wise where that, you know, I was standing at one end and watching my newsletter come out the other end. It was pretty neat. It's a really neat place. So I grabbed a lot of shots from that, and the guys were all very nice and showed me around, and I probably smell like printer ink now. So, yeah, we got to play Mario Kart soon. I was with a bunch of friends like two weekends ago, and I got roaringly drunk, and I still won first place. I still beat every one of them.
You're that good.
Well, maybe it's in comparison, but even the computer, like, I even beat the computer and all my friends, and I had way too much to drink.
Yeah.
So, you think I trash talk now, man. Just you wait. So. Anything else, David? We really didn't have a point to the show, did we?
Nope. Well.
It's more like, hey, let's get together again.
Yeah. Thomas Brand has been on our case to do another show.
Yeah, that's right. We have to satisfy the Thomas Brands of the world. And I am so jealous, because he's been on fire with his Egg Freckles blog. I think he's really doing some great stuff over there lately.
Yeah. It's amazing. Sorry, Tom, for saying this. It's amazing you haven't torn it all down and started again yet.
We're proud of him. But now that I bought a house, I can just fill it up with old Macintosh crap.
Yeah, you bought. Oh, we forgot about that. You bought a house.
Oh, God, I did. I did buy a house, didn't I? Golly. What was I thinking? Seriously, yeah, thank you. I'm going to have a ton of space to put everything on my stuff.
When are you moving in there?
It's going to be the middle to end of March, So I get all the financial stuff done March 15th.
The middle of the end of March.
Middle to the end of March. So anywhere between the 15th and the end of March, I'm good.
Right.
So I got to give notice to my apartment place here, and then I got to pack up my stuff. So lately, your hobby is whatever you're consumed with at the moment. And so my hobby lately has been like interior design, which I know nothing about. And I kind of feel like a cripple at it. But what's going to go on my walls? What are my couches going to look like? I'm finally going to be able to set up an office, which I've always wanted to do. So, you know, I got to pick a desk and an extra desk to put all my other Macs on.
Yeah, I bet you don't own any furniture.
Nope, not a thing.
Nope.
I mean, I've got a bedroom set. That's about it. So I bought my first chair last Friday. It's nice. It's like a recline. It's kind of like a modern looking reclining chair. It's very, very sharp.
Nice.
But now I know what an adult feels like. I mean, this is what an adult feels like when you buy your first chair. So all these big things happening, if you know, I might as well have the kid next week or something.
The Jews have bar mitzvahs. We have buying chairs.
Yeah. Or furniture in general. I mean, a couch is even bigger of a deal, you know, and I still got to buy a couch.
Mm.
All right, Chesterfield. Do you call them Chesterfields? No, that's Canadian.
I think that's a brand name.
Right, but they just call couches Chesterfields. It's kind of really. Like you call tissues Kleenexes, you know? Yeah, I need a Kleenex.
Cities or sofas, usually.
Sofa. Yeah, that's a good word. I need a sofa. We call them couches. Or sofa. But Canadians call them Chesterfields.
Yeah.
And I love the Canadian people. They're good people. Oh! That was something vibrating, I heard.
That was an email.
Oh. Grant and I had a great discussion about your age.
Yeah, I read it.
Grant, for listeners, you know, I don't know if you know how old David is, but
dpk.org.uk/old. How old am I? Old woman.
Right, that was so great, and I think you blew his mind. I think he just could not believe that.
Yeah. I'll read you the tweet. Because it's somewhat funny. It's slightly intimidating when smart people I associate with are younger than some of my favorite clothing items.
Which is great. That's Grant.
Yeah.
Splorp.
Splorp on Twitter. Or splorp.com.
Yep.
Or splorp.me, which is his... which is where he's... I don't know what he's doing. He's supposed to be redesigning his website there.
I never knew that. Oh, well, it's very basic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just HTML.
that's supposed to be the default design for Frontispiece whenever he finishes it.
Hmm. Takes you back about a decade.
Yeah, I know.
15 years. This is how websites look.
Yeah. I dug up someone in my family dug up a printout from, I guess, 1996, a while back. An actual printout of a web page from 1996.
Wow.
Which was, it was a web page that my brother had made to celebrate celebrate my dad's birthday.
So it's all it's got just links and
yeah, it's
right Times New Roman.
Well, no, it is somewhat laid out. It's in blue, and there's pictures of me as a three or 4 year old.
Oh, you need to scan this thing. This is treasure material right here.
Yeah. I was trying to work out if had Internet Explorer been released in 1996? I think it had. So
yeah, there was some kind of version.
Yeah, so they probably hadn't. I was trying to work out if they had paid for the browser, which had been, which had been used to print it out.
Right, and think about that. That's how long ago that was, where we had to pay for browsers. I was using probably AOL at the time.
Yeah,
that's how I got started.
And now AOL are driving themselves into the ground with acquiring the Huffington Post and TechCrunch and all these. It seems like they're acquiring every execrable website in the world and hoping to make a profit from it.
Which, you know, it's not like they've all been misses. I mean, they do have Engadget, which isn't bad. But the rest of them I'm not so sure about.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But yeah, I'm not a Huffington Post reader, and I don't read TechCrunch.
No, neither do I.
Although I take that back. Every once in a while, TechCrunch will have something about Apple that I'll check out. Like they just had.
If they've got something interesting about, you know, something I'm interested in, and I dig it up on Hacker News or something, then I'll read it. But you know, I don't subscribe to it in RSS or something.
Exactly. They had something about the new Final Cut coming out, and so I was kind of interested in that, and I read about it. But,
What, are you getting into filmmaking?
You know, you say that. I mean, it's a little bit, yeah. I mean, since I bought this camera, it's slowly dawned on me just how good the video is that can come out of this thing.
Yeah. Does it do the 1080p? Is it one of these DSLRs that does 1080p?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
And so for work, I've been doing video work for the last couple years now, and it's something I've been becoming more interested in. But I volunteered to video my friend's wedding this coming September. And so I've kind of been learning about it and, you know, teaching myself some tricks and things like that. And then I got this camera and I filmed some stuff around town, and I just thought, my God, this is like
I guess that's nice, because you can use the same lenses for the video filming as you do for photographs.
Exactly, and they look gorgeous. Like, it's not just video; it looks like film. You know, it's only got the narrow depth of field where only one thing is in focus and the rest is out of focus. Yeah. So for things like you know, interviews or close up shots or whatever, it's just gorgeous.
So do you reckon we're about done? An hour and three into this?
I think that's good. We didn't even talk about much.
No. Wow. We talked about the Thunderbolt, James Bond.
Yep. You bought a house? No, wait, that's me.
iPad replacement.
Right.
Beer?
Beer. Let's not forget beer. Nachos. Yep. Which I'm going to have a few more nachos after we get out of here. So I'm just starving when I get home. So I got to eat some nachos.
All right.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Yep, you too. Bye.
Bye.